Dub Nation, you're invited to take your seat.
Take a seat
at the Warriors Roundtable.
It's a three, in and out, rebound, Payton, out to Curry, lets it fly, three ball, left corner pocket.
Welcome to the table. The exclusive home of your Golden State Warriors. 95-7 the game.
Curry fires away. Three ball above the break.
Here's Kevin Dana.
Right there.
And Gary St. Jean.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome you to Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. Taking your calls all hour long. 888-957-9570. Come on, hit us up if you want to talk about that win over Philly last night. The instant classic game with the Lakers over the weekend or anything else. Dub Nation, we invite you to sit alongside us on the roundtable. Kevin Danett, Gary St. Jean with you, reminding you that the Warriors 2023-24 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente. And St., let's start with that win over Philadelphia. Much-needed win to end the homestand 2-2. And look, yes, there were some big asterisks around this game. We'll get into Embiid not looking all the way right, and hopefully he's okay. They've already ruled him out for the Utah game they have tomorrow. No Tyrese Maxey last night. But a game like last night, the 119-107 win, Gary, is why there's reason for hope that this season can be salvaged.
Well, you're right. We'll talk about Philly, but look, the Warriors, for me, the bright light was the play of the two guys I've been talking about since October.
Yeah.
And you know who I'm going to, Kuminga and Wiggins. And I loved the lineup last night with Steph and Podzinski in the backcourt, and I can envision Clay starting there, and I like Draymond at the five. He did a terrific job against a hobbled Embiid. And you know, then the bench will get healthy and fall into place. We can talk about that later. But the big keys to me were, you know, Steph is just playing fantastic basketball.
Yeah.
But he's having to exert a phenomenal amount of effort to get this done. It was easier when Clay was rolling, you know, when you had your other scorers on the floor, a Wiggins of 2 years ago, and role players. Teams are double, triple teaming him, yet he continues to play at such an unbelievable level. And if this team can get healthy, I'm with you. I think this is going to be a positive sign. Never mind about the injuries with Philly. I was feeling real good about the way the Warriors played on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, and I was feeling pretty good about how the Warriors played for decent chunks of the Sacramento and LA games as well, of course. Unfortunately for Golden State, those were 2 1-point losses. But let's jump back to Stephen Curry. You mentioned him, 37 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, just another Steph masterclass that was on display. He was so efficient as well. He was 12 of 17 from the field, 8 of 13 from deep. And my favorite kind of embedded stat line there, I like him being 4 of 4 on twos. And look, he had some really nice finishes inside. I mean, one of the top 10 plays from the NBA, I was watching the NBA top 10 they have on League Pass, was his finish around Joel Embiid early on to make it 6-4. But look, he's 62% on shots inside 5 feet. I felt like, you know, over the last couple of weeks, maybe he hasn't hit as high a clip as normal than he usually makes. Those shots, those circus shots around the rim, are almost automatic for him. And he is kind of consistently around 62% for his career. Last year he was up to 70%. But I mean, those shots inside were looking good. And then obviously, I mean, 8 for 13, we know that he can do that every time out. And you mentioned he's getting into a groove right now. And we'll talk about the big reason why I think, and I think you think as well, as we've kind of alluded to the play of Draymond Green, but at least 30 points in 3 straight games after a stretch where he was in the low 20s, maybe not as efficient as he was, but recently he's really turned it up.
Well, when you talk about Steph, one of the things that's improved over the years, over the decade, is his strength. And then with that, his ability to finish in the paint. I think that's a very, very underrated skill that he has. I think he's got touch. Let's put a triple exclamation point on that reverse flip on the left side, as you noted. You and I would take 100 tries in a game of horse, and we wouldn't get that to go in, and we wouldn't have Embiid next to us. And, you know, then I look at his three ball, and the one that was amazing to me, Kev, I don't even know, what am I going to say, a millisecond? The one where Podzinski had the dribble penetration, and Steph drifted to the right corner, and he caught that thing and let it go like in one motion. I looked at that thing, and I said, there's not another guy in the NBA, maybe in the whole basketball world, that could have made that shot. It's just amazing. And then we saw the step back on the one-on-three. you're saying, no, great shot, you know, that kind of thing. And those guys were befuddled. They couldn't believe it. And that just goes to show you got to pick him up at midcourt. Otherwise, you're going to get posterized.
Look, All-Star Reserve is going to get announced tomorrow. He better be one of the All-Star Reserves that gets announced because, I mean, he's had a terrific
season. He's got to be there to shoot the three-point thing, too.
Yeah, with Sabrina Ionescu, he's already going to be there. Yeah, that is awesome. I mean, Sabrina Ionescu, so just a quick aside
that's
there.
Cool.
So I had to I was doing a junior NBA showcase game during Summer League, and they practiced right after the WNBA All-Star three-point competition in Las Vegas last year. And so I came in at the very end of that three-point shootout to get ready to watch the youngsters practice, and I got there just in time to see the end of Sabrina's get 37 out of a possible 40. I mean, she had that arena just on fire. So that's going to be a lot of fun, that All-Star weekend. Steph versus Sabrina. Steve Kerr said in his pregame chat with the media last night that he kind of likens it to a modern-day Billie Jean King versus
That is great.
Yeah, I believe that 1973, early 70s.
You're too young. I remember that.
Yeah. So I obviously didn't watch that one live. But moving on from Stephen Curry, another solid game, another very good game for Andrew Wiggins. 8 of 10 from the field. The efficiency has really picked up, especially the last three games shooting-wise for Andrew. 23, 5, 4, and 3 steals. Yep. In his last five games, I saw Dalton Johnson tweet this out. Last five games, 18 points, 4.8 rebounds, shooting 61 from the field, 44 from 3, and 81% from the foul line. That's always kind of been, in his entire Warriors career, that's always kind of been a big bugaboo for Andrew, the free throw line. But last night, he was 6 of 6 from the line, and it's now the first time all season that he scored at least 12 points in 5 straight games.
Yeah, I can say to you that looks like Wiggins from 2 years ago. He made great basketball decisions, Kev. He drove it to the paint. You know, you got to... When you look at this team, the Kuminga and Wiggins are the two that are going to attack the rim. And they both did it beautiful in the sense that when they had an open three, they took it. When they got crowded, they broke it down and got in the paint. Some great finishes, maybe a little draw and kick. And you touched on the free throws, and we know about... You know, this just happens, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent. When players are scoring a lot, they get juiced a little bit. And invariably, I see him play better defense. And I can see him picking it up now. His pressure on the ball is superb. And when he's locked in like that, that gives you a big, big piece on the defensive end because you can put him on any one of the three perimeter guys and feel really good about it.
So I got to ask you, Saint, this last five games, is this a launching point for a better second half of the season for Wiggs, or do you think this is a flash in the pan?
Yeah, no. You know what? I think the key is the players on the floor feel comfortable. And I think both he and Kuminga are comfortable. Now, you know, there's been plenty written and said about, oh, gosh, I don't know if they fit, and I don't know. We go to this plus-minus stuff. You can come on. You can watch. You can feel whether guys can play together, and we're going to talk about Kuminga. But 7 in a row, 20 plus, and hey, I'll tell you one thing. If I'm in the other locker room and I got to deal with Steph Curry on the top of the whiteboard, and then these two athletes in the next two spots, that's got me sweating a little bit. That to me is really positive for the Warriors.
No, it really is. And let's touch on Jonathan Kuminga a little bit. We're coming up on a break in a minute or so. But, I mean, just the seventh straight game with 20-plus points. He goes for 26, 7, and 3 steals. In the month of January, 20.6 points per game, shooting 59% from the field. And then Anthony Slater, in his article post-game after the win over Philadelphia, pointing this out, over those last seven games, he's tied for 6th in the NBA in paint points with 108 paint points over the last seven games. So doing quick math in my head, I mean, that is more than 15 paint points per game that Jonathan Kuminga is delivering, and that's tied with Zion Williamson over that stretch.
Yeah, and Zion's liable to sit out the next 10 games. You know, I just like Kuminga's tenacity. He looks confident. His teammates look really comfortable playing with him. He gets in there, and he's a great finisher with his leaping ability. I like when he posts up. I think he takes his time down there and really does a nice job with it. And I'm happy for this guy. I you know, I'm going to admit it. I was critical. I wanted more earlier. And I'm seeing now what I envisioned with this guy. And he's got a really, really bright future. He's a special athlete in the NBA. And he also can be a heck of a defender with the tutelage of Draymond.
Yep.
Putting in good words to Kuminga, talking about his game on both ends of the floor. And Draymond and Wiggins have a very positive history. So that front line, it may be a little undersized, but I'm confident that they can do a heck of a job on both ends of the floor.
Celebrate Black History Month on Warriors Ground. Join us live at Chase Center on Saturday, February 10th, as the Warriors face the Phoenix Suns. KD making his return to Brooklyn right now, presented by State Farm. All fans get a Black History Month shirt. Get your tickets now at warriors.com or call 888-GSW. Hoop representative standing by. We'll take a break. Break down more the win over Philadelphia. We also do want to remember Dejan Milojevic a little bit, the Golden State Warriors assistant coach who passed away a couple of weeks back. So all that to look forward to on the other side of this break right here on 95.7 The Game.
Each and every member of Dub Nation has a seat at this table.
If everybody would please take your seats.
The Warriors Roundtable has returned on 95.7 The Game.
Knocked it down straight out for about 28 feet.
Now back to Kevin Dana and Gary St. Jean.
All season, Michelob Ultra is giving one lucky fan two Ultra Club tickets to select Warriors games. Enter your chance to win at warriors.com/ultra. Kevin Anna, Gary St. Jean with you, rocking on 95.7 for the next 40 minutes or so as we continue to break down the win over Philadelphia, take a look ahead to the upcoming five-game road trip, talk about the instant Steph LeBron classic. But first, Saint, we haven't had a chance to talk about the passing of Dejan Milojevic, former Golden State Warriors assistant coach, since it happened a couple of weeks ago, the heart attack suffered in Salt Lake City right before their game against the Utah Jazz. That one got postponed, as did the Dallas Mavericks one get postponed. Those games have makeup dates. They will be playing the Jazz again on February 15th, and they'll be playing the Mavericks on April 2nd and April 5th. And now, Gary, I never had a chance to have a conversation with Dejan Milojevic, but I do broadcast some overseas basketball. He was the coach of Mega, and this is a team. I actually had a chance to do one of their games when USC went overseas for their European tour. We did a game on the NBA app, Isaiah Collier and USC against Mega. And just looking at what he was able to do, I mean, you could talk about the Adriatic League titles, you know, or competing in the Adriatic League, I should say. But what he meant to Serbian basketball and getting guys to the NBA, he had 11 guys drafted over his 8 years as head coach of Mega. That's an incredible, incredible number, considering that that team had produced one NBA draft pick before he got there. Nikola Jokic, Ivica Zubac, Timotei Luwawu-Kabiro. Those are just some of the guys who played under Coach Milojevic and got drafted to the NBA from Mega. And that legacy is something that I don't think us as Americans can fully appreciate, that what he was able to do over there in Serbia to get that many guys to the NBA.
Well, Kev, isn't it special when someone passes and you read comments about somebody's character, their personality? And, you know, and I one of my favorite things was Podzinski talking about the impact that he had on him in a few short months, about smiling and being happy and feeling the greatness of playing in the NBA. And, you know, you read the comments that he was the European Charles Barkley of the day.
Yeah.
And a heck of a player. And then you look at his coaching resume. And he had to be a fabulous teacher of fundamentals, but also about how to be a pro and work at your craft. Because all of these guys have come over and had success. And then, you know, you think about the Warriors and his impact on that locker room, that the guys just thought the world of him. And, you know, that's tragic, you know, for his family and, you know, then the Warrior family to be involved in the whole, you know, the death there and on the road. And I'm happy and proud of the NBA that they allowed him to cancel a couple games to give him some time. And I love the way Steve Kerr spoke, and the team honored him and got his initials there on the court, and you know, the family being there. If it can be done right, it was done right.
Yeah, it was certainly done right. You know, obviously, it's heartbreaking to see his family there and what they have to go through right now. And I think Steve Kerr struck a great tone. Obviously, he has had to deal with what the Milojevic family's dealing with when his father was assassinated. So, look, Steve Kerr is the perfect coach, I think, to lead a team through like off the court crisis like this.
Yeah. So, without a doubt. And that's where you and I know how special he is as a guy.
Yep.
And I wish all the fans could get to know him, because you watch him under the fire of the game, and he's obviously one of the top three coaches in the league. And but yet who he is as a person to me is even better. And, you know, I just love the way at the end, and instead of having a moment of silence, he asked for, you know, what he would like to give him a great ovation, give him a great cheer. And he asked Ron Adams what he thought that he would want to have done. And he said, hey, get your rear ends out there and play. And play with joy and win. And it was great. What a tribute to him.
Yeah, and it was nice that the Warriors did get a win after that tribute over the Atlanta Hawks. And, of course, our thoughts with the Milojevic family as they deal with this tragic passing of Dejan Milojevic. So let's get back to the Philadelphia game. And I have one more point that I wanted to make on Jonathan Kuminga. And I got this from Slater's article. He has played 30-plus minutes in three straight games. He hadn't played back-to-back games with 30-plus minutes. The line I liked from Anthony Slater in his article, the trust from Coach Steve Kerr has finally arrived.
Well, you know, in the NBA, nobody hands you minutes. You know, you have to earn them, and it's a process that you're sound on both ends of the floor. You're playing within the team game, and you knew the talent was there. But you can't teach experience in the NBA, and you have to go through it. And he's there. Steve can see it. He can feel it. The rest of the staff does. The teammates do. And that's a great thing. Now you're looking and you're saying, hey, dude, this guy's really got a big upside. And I can't think of one darn reason, Kev, that he can't keep this up. How good an athlete he is, and the confidence that he's playing with and the determination he's playing with.
Yeah, I mean, for him to improve his scoring average from, like, before this, at some point in the month of January, he was 12 ish points per game.
Yeah.
He's up to 14.8 points per game. And to do that this deep into the season where he's played 43 games just shows you just how consistently above that previous average that he has been. And here's the number I know that you're going to like a little more now. He's not rebounding at three and change per game. He's up to 4.5 rebounds per game. And so we're seeing that intention to the glass as well.
Well, you know what? When you're that good of an athlete, you can fall into 4 rebounds a game. And I'm going to tell you that I envision that guy, if he's playing 30 minutes, I can envision him getting upwards of, a minute every board every 3 minutes. That's how athletic he is. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to think this. I'm crazy.
Okay.
I loved he got a technical.
Yeah, you did. I didn't like that technical.
Well, no, I
up eight in the fourth quarter.
I didn't think it was earned. I didn't think it was earned, and I know it was in a pivotal time of the game, but I like seeing some emotion from him.
Okay, yeah.
I liked it. He got a bad call, and he'll learn that that wasn't the right time, but he, you know what? He's playing at a level now that you're saying, hey, good for him.
Yeah, no, exactly. Good for him indeed. And Dub Nation certainly enjoying seeing the Kuminga resurgence here as he has really taken off this year 3 leap. So we've talked about 3 guys from that game. Stephen Curry, Andrew Wiggins, Jonathan Kuminga, how they've all been playing very well, not only in that game, but as of late. And there is a tying thread to all those guys, and his name is Draymond Green, because he is making these lineup combinations really flourish. You remember all the bad Kuminga Wiggins 2-man groups and how bad their net rating was. Well, with
Don't
Draymond,
believe all that stuff.
Well, when you sprinkle Draymond Green into a Kuminga Wiggins 3-man lineup, 85 minutes since his return from suspension, from Draymond's return, they are a plus 50.
Is that so, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's just he really changes everything. And look, Andrew's improved numbers. Those last 5 games I mentioned, those are also those 5 games Draymond has all played in. Steph's recent jump, I think, directly correlates with Draymond Green returning, because he just feels so much more comfortable with Draymond out there.
Well, you just hit on it. And I just like both ends of the floor, how he's orchestrating from the back. And he's got the baton. He's the orchestra leader. He's the maestro. Yep. And he's telling everybody where to go and how to rotate and how to communicate. And I just love that, what he's getting done. And for me, him taking the challenge, playing Embiid, and then you take him to the other end, and, you know, he's got that ball at the top of the circle. And just little subtle things last night, he's pointing at guys to get a screen for Steph, because Steph's down low, and don't wait there. Walk in and get the brush screen on Steph's man to free him up. And I'd love to sit down and have a cold one with a bunch of fans and just point out all the little things that he does to help a team win on both ends of the floor. It is really for a guy that has been in this league for so long, to watch him just go through that in a game. It's masterful.
And Steve Kerr was talking pretty much as much post-game. Mark, if you could get this ready for us, Mark Grandy behind the glass. This is what Steve Kerr had to say about Draymond connecting Wiggins and Kuminga offensively. Then, Sain, I want to hear your response after.
Draymond really changed things with his return, because he connects those guys at both ends of the floor just with his communication defensively, and then the way he helps get us organized offensively. So great to see Wiggs and JK both playing so well and playing well together. It's fun. You can see the team we're shifting a little bit, you know, with the look, how we're playing and who we're playing. Tonight, I know Philly was shorthanded, but I thought it was a really good defensive effort from our guys.
You know, Steve, he played for so long and has been in this league so long, and you know, he knows the journey. And we all know that Wiggins had to sit out a period last year with some personal matters. And then you've got the youth of Kuminga. And then we've had a lot of injuries, and we've had a lot of close games, a bounce here or there. So a lot of people are disappointed. But you know what? This can still turn around, Kev. I'm looking at this thing, and I may get off subject here. I don't think Houston's going to stay in front of them. And Utah has impressed me, but the Warriors can catch them. And the ones I know they can catch are the Lakers. And it won't be the worst thing in the world. You and I talked about them getting six, and that's going to be difficult. But if they can get up in the 7 or 8 and have a home game in that play-in, you could get just like the Sacramento series last year. You get Steph going. I'll tell you what, some other team were playing against this veteran team. They don't want to play the Warriors.
Yeah, and here's the thing. They're going to have a real chance to move up the standings because they got 7 games left against Utah and the Lakers. Like, that was their first game against L.A., and then they were supposed to play Utah a couple weeks ago. Unfortunately, obviously, we know the circumstances around that. But they are going to have their opportunities. If you can go 5-2 in those next 7 games, you're going to set yourself up pretty good. So hopefully that is something that, you know, from a Warriors perspective, that they would be able to get some wins against the Lakers, against the Utah Jazz, teams above them. I want to talk one thing from the Philly side of this game, and of course it's Joel Embiid. And look, he didn't look right. I'm looking at his shot chart right now, and I know this is a guy that operates in the mid-range a lot, but he only took 5 shots in the paint, and only 2 shots were inside that semicircle that makes up the circle of the key, if you will. So basically, he had like 2 shots inside 8 feet and like 1 shot right at the basket. And he was 5 of 18 from the field. It just, look, you could tell, like, obviously a much more healthy Joel Embiid, and he's going to be much better than 5 of 18. I remember when he came to Golden State last year, I watched that game, and I said to myself, Joel Embiid is MVP. Like, that's how good he was against Golden State last year. And then, I mean, you hate to see the injury he took late in that game where Kuminga, you know, inadvertently, you know, landed on his knee. But one thing I do want to bring up, I was listening to Evan Giddings of 95.7 on Warriors Wrap-Up last night, doing a great job with that show. And the thing he mentioned that really kind of hit home with me, You know, all that flack that Embiid got for not playing against Denver and how he's missed 4 straight games in Denver against Jokic, well, that looks pretty short-sighted now because he clearly wasn't 100% against Golden State. And if he wasn't 100% on Tuesday, there is no way in hell he was 100% on Saturday.
No, and that's getting picky-oon. For that matter, Jokic is sitting out tonight with a stiff back. So, you know, you and I could debate this thing about the 65-game thing and all this kind of thing. I'm going to take you way back. Greg is coaching, I think, in Sacramento, and they draft Ben McLemore, who played at Kansas.
Yeah, 2013.
So they had him go back there and work him out. And he came home, and, you know, he's all fired up. He's a young guy wanting to get in the coaching profession. He said, Dad, I might have seen the best big guy. This guy, if he can stay healthy, he's going to be unbelievable. Well, who was it? It was Embiid.
Yeah.
And I compare Embiid to a guy that I was with in the late 70s and 80s. Remember a guy named Bob Lanier?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Hall of Famer. Now, he had a touch shooting the ball very similar to Embiid. Now, Biggs didn't go out and shoot threes like he does, but on the elbows, in the paint, just a feathery touch. And what do they have in common? Bad wheels. Now, I'm looking at Embiid, and I'm just hoping and praying that everything's okay with this guy because he's one of our best players in the entire league, and, you know, you don't want his career to be cut short. And that Lanier got hurt playing at St. Bonaventure. He still went on to score over 20,000 points in the NBA. And, you know, we had great teams led by him. And I see a lot of similarity in their size. Bob weighed about 280, and I think Embiid weighs in that vicinity. And that's a pounding on the legs. And so let's hope that guy's okay because he's just been playing some fabulous basketball.
You mentioned the mid-range touch that Lanier had. I'm looking at Embiid's shot chart right now. On shots from 16 feet to the three-point line, he is 67 of 133. Cool. That's like 51%. It's incredible. Like, for a guy to be that efficient, like, league average is 39-40% from the shots that he, from the shot zones where he's at. And, I mean, he's just blowing those numbers away, and he's a seven-footer, a seven-plus footer.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right on. I mean, you watch the ball leave his hand. What, he's shooting 88 from the free throw line.
Yeah.
He shot the technicals.
Yeah.
I mean, and when he walked off the floor, I didn't know he goes into the locker room in the second quarter. I said, well, with Maxey out and him out of the game, I mean, the Warriors are going to take care of business here. Next thing I know, he comes back out. And, of course, we all saw what happened. You felt bad for him. But, hey, they're a heck of a team. They really are. And we talk about the West being tough.
Whew.
It's tough back there now.
Top of the East.
My old pal Doc Rivers back on the bench, and yep. You know, Boston playing well, and we had Philly in the three spot, and New York's now passed them up. Cleveland's played phenomenal without Garland and Mobley, and then Indiana, nobody's going to want to play them because it might be 150-145. So,
yep.
You know what? They got like six teams there that are locks, that are darn good teams.
And I know the Miami Heat have not been playing well.
Yeah, good
point. I haven't seen the final score. I'm just going to pull up the final score of that game against the Sacramento Kings. They're 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter in that one, and they were up the last time I checked. Yeah, they're up 9 right now.
Ah.
But they might be on a 7-game losing skid right now. Looks like they're going to snap that skid tonight. But if they're a 7 seed, 8 seed, they've proven it doesn't matter. Yeah, you do not want to play the Miami Heat in the postseason. Let's turn back the clock of 72 hours prior to the Philly game, because I do want to touch on the double overtime loss of the Lakers, 145-144. Oh. I mean, just look, they've had a lot more heartbreaking losses this year. Yeah, they were up 15 in the third and 9 with under 4 minutes to go in the fourth. This was more of just kind of an exhausting 58-minute defeat. I mean, Steve Kerr was really impressed with the team's effort, the heart in that game, and I was as well. But just kind of an inability to close out tight contests, saying, I mean, second straight one-point loss at home. They had the loss to Sacramento 48 hours prior. That made them 15-17 in clutch games this year, so a five-point game in the final 5 minutes. They played 32 games, which is by far the most. And it got me thinking, so how does this number compare to the early parts of the Steve Kerr Steve Kerr, Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, Klay Thompson teams, and then you splash in Kevin Durant. Well, 2 years ago when they won the title, they were 23-19. Last year, 20-21. You go back to the 14-15 season, first title year, they were 23-8 in clutch games. The year after when they won 73 games, they were 30-4 in clutch games. I mean, it's unreal. The 16-9 the year, their first year with Durant, 19-10 the year after, 20-15 in 18-19. So obviously earlier in the dynasty, they were a lot more clutch than they are right now.
Well, yeah, you've had some bad bounces, some injuries, some tough calls and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, when you have a guy that's playing at the level of Steph Curry, what's the other team doing? They're putting the whole army out there against him. You've seen him double and triple team. Nothing was more indicative to me than Steph dribbling into the paint, circling back out.
Yes.
And then he goes on the left, right side about 14 feet out, and then he takes Davis off the bounce. In the meantime, you still had about 5 purple shirts chasing him.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's everybody knows where they want to go, and is he going to be like a decoy or whatever? And the execution leaves a little bit to be desired, and some clutch shot making. And here's the thing that has been lacking. The ability to get to the free throw line. And conversely, the fouls that they commit, that game was decided on the free throw line with the Lakers. What, they have like 40 attempts?
Yeah, 43-16 was the difference in
crazy.
That game.
Crazy. I mean, I love Steve's comment that his mom was there. And, you know, and he didn't want to make – he said, well, hey, Steph played 44 minutes and he got 3 free throw attempts. And, you know, he could have went on a dissertation about that, but he held back. There's a lot of things that go into end games, and you know, that takes everybody being on the same page and understanding how they're being played and all that kind of thing. And That's been a thorn in their side.
Yeah. Now, they have had some close wins recently. Like, they eked one out against the Detroit Pistons. They've had some games where they've won by 4 or 5 points. But they've lost 9 straight games decided by one possession, which...
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just like, if just a couple of those go the other way, I mean, we're not worried about the play-in. We're, you know, Golden State's fighting for a top six spot. So, I mean, if things kind of regress to the mean, if you will, like, if you win more of those coin flip one-possession games down the stretch of this season, they should be all right.
Yeah, I agree with you, and you know what? I feel better about what's going on out there on the floor. And if they can ever get the bench guys back, you're going to feel a lot better about your team, because right now was one of they got outscored from the bench. And that's been a big plus for this team. So, you know, we'll have to see what goes on here. Chris Paul gets healthy. Moody gets healthy. Saric goes back to being productive coming off the bench. Looney gives you good defense. And then you got the two rookies. And so you got plenty of bodies, and it's just everybody getting in a good groove.
I celebrate Lunar New Year at Chase Center on Wednesday, February 14th, as the Dubs take on the L.A. Clippers, presented by Cache Creek Casino Resort. First 10,000 fans get a Warriors Lunar New Year bucket hat. Get your tickets now at Warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP. Representatives are standing by. We'll take a break, take a look at this upcoming road trip, talk about Pods getting an invite to the Rising Stars Challenge, and much more on the other side of this timeout, right here on 95.7 The Game.
If you've just joined us, don't worry. We saved your seat.
Sit down.
Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down.
At the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Curry behind the back. Wade stops it. Pops on the way. Ridiculous three on the right sideline.
Now, here's Kevin Dana and Gary St. Jean.
Well, let's take a look at our upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster. The road trip starts Friday in Memphis against the Grizzlies, 4:30 airtime, 5 p.m. tip time on 95.7 The Game with Tim Roy on the call. Back end of a back-to-back takes them to Atlanta on Saturday, February 3rd, 4 p.m. airtime, 4:30 tip. The road trip continues in Brooklyn Monday, February 5th, 4 p.m. airtime, 4:30 tip time. And then in Philly on Wednesday, February 7th, 4 p.m. on the air, 4:30 tip time here on 95.7. And the road trip concludes back end of a back-to-back at Indiana, 3:30 on the air, 4 p.m. tip time. That's a tough back-to-back. You go from Philly to Indianapolis, not just because the teams are good, but because that's not the closest back-to-back to make either, and you lose a half hour with a 4:30 tip on one game, 4 p.m. the next game. You can listen to all those games right here on 95.7 with Tim Roy on the call. And Gary, as I read those names, Memphis, Atlanta, Brooklyn, Philly, Indy, a lot of winnable games on this road trip, especially the front end of it. And to me, 3-2 should be the minimum goal. You look at Memphis, nobody's healthy for that team. Like, how injured, how depleted is that team? They had to pull guys up from their G League club, and their G League roster only had like 7 guys available to play Santa Cruz on Monday. Matt Hurt, who I call the G League Larry Bird, just in the way his shot looks, he puts it directly over his head. He can really shoot it. Got called up, and well, unfortunately, Santa Cruz lost that game by 1 point to the Memphis Hustle, but he got called up and played like 15 minutes in his first NBA game for the Grizzlies. Atlanta's having a rough season, but they just beat the Lakers by 16. They got enough talent, Saint, where they can kind of hang with just about anybody. It just hasn't been their year this year. Brooklyn had really fallen off a cliff, but they had a big win against Utah. I believe they beat them 147-114 earlier this week, and they're at the half close with the Suns right now, trailing by 3. With Philadelphia, we already know Embiid's not playing against the Utah Jazz. The way that injury looked, look, I don't want to speculate, but he might be out for a little bit. So if they don't have Embiid, that game becomes a lot more winnable. And then Indiana, that's going to be tough on the back end of the back-to-back. So you got to do your work early on this road trip, Saint.
Well, you do. And Kev, am I right that they've got 23 of their last 38 on the road?
Well, yeah, they've only played 18 road games at this point. They're 7-11.
Yeah, that's Woo, that's tough. Now, I'm going to share with you, if you play well, you should win in Memphis and Atlanta. But they both have snuck up on some people lately, surprisingly to me. Atlanta's underachieving, and any win that Memphis gets is really special because, they, as you noted, they are decimated with injuries. And you covered it with that back-to-back. I think in Philly you're going to see a lot of Paul Reed, former DePaul.
Oh, B-ball Paul. I love him.
There you go. And, you know, Philly's, it's a home game. They should have Maxey back by then, who's having a fantastic year. And you brought it out about going to Indiana with a quick turnaround. That's going to be really difficult. So, you know, East Coast trips are tough. You don't know what the weather's going to be and all that kind of thing. And you're right, looking at the list, you're saying, well, you know, we can go 3-2, maybe even better. Who knows? But at the end of the day, it can be tough sledding back there.
Yeah, and I mean, you talk about Memphis, 18-29. They're 12-10 since that 6-19 start. The 25 games they didn't have Ja Morant. Taylor Jenkins. Now, I'm sure Warriors fans remember. I was curious about calls. Like, I'm sure he upset some Warriors fans with the way he defended his team in that second round series. But he can coach. He's kind of a Popovich tree guy because he was the head coach of the Austin Toros back in the day, G League affiliate of San Antonio Spurs. Then it was an assistant in Atlanta, eventually the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies. He knows what he's doing. And look, the Warriors better have the Grizzlies better have the Warriors' full attention because last time they went there, MLK Day, that was one of the ugliest losses of the season for Golden State.
Yeah, that was. That one there, you throw right into the bay. You don't even look at it, the video. But your point on Jenkins is well taken. I've got him and the guy in OKC there, Dagnall. Those two guys, boy, what good young coaches. And, you know, you're looking at some, you got some veteran guys in Quinn Snyder, and then you're going to face Rick Carlisle. And I think, you know, you're a fan of Nurse. The three of those guys we've mentioned were in the G League. And so with that said, you got to get everybody, you know, you probably won't have Chris Paul, but you're hoping you're going to have the majority of the other guys back. I'm excited to see Moody come back. I think he's going to, you know, with Kuminga in the starting lineup, there might be some more time for him. And so it'll be an interesting trip, and of course I like the games because they're on at 4 or 4:30.
Yeah, maybe, you know, freeze up your evening a little bit, if you will. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about Moses Moody because the Warriors PR released some information that he has been cleared to practice. Steve Kerr said pregame yesterday before Philadelphia, they had today off. They're going to practice tomorrow before they get on the plane to go to Memphis. So Moses is going to practice tomorrow, and he could return to the rotation during this five-game road trip. I think he could certainly be used. He was playing well when he was in the lineup. I think he's made a really nice third-year leap in addition to Jonathan Kuminga, so I'm looking forward to him getting back out there as well.
Well, you know, sometimes you plan a practice solely about around a guy who's injured coming back. You want to get him a run and get him out there. So I think it's a good move on the coaching staff to get him out there, get him comfortable a little bit and see how he does. And hopefully he can come back. As you noted, I think he can be a real shot in the arm. As much as, you know, we were liking the rookies, when this guy is healthy, I think he's just got a nice NBA game that fits. Yep. And so I'm pulling for him.
And also, some other news came out yesterday from Warriors PR. Chris Paul has been cleared to resume on-court individual workouts after that fractured left hand at the beginning of the month, and he will be reevaluated in 2 weeks. Now, obviously, you don't want to have a broken hand, but I think with Chris at this age, like I'm much more okay, quote unquote, with a fractured hand than I am with like a knee or a foot or something like that.
Well, why are you saying that? Because he can do cardio work. He can keep himself in shape. You know, they can get him in the hot tub and with the like an elliptical thing in there, and then they got him out on the cart. You know, it's a pain in the neck when you're injured like that, but yet you can still do the cardio work. The people are all over you to get your work in. And you know what? We don't need him to come back and score 20 points. We need his ball distribution, his savvy, smart veteran play, and you're right. When he can come back, that's going to be a big plus.
And also, we got a couple of minutes left in the show. We do want to give some props to Brandon Pajemski, named to the Rising Stars game February 16th, beginning of All-Star Weekend. And here's one thing to put in perspective. He was picked 19th overall in the first round. Yeah. 11 rookies have been selected for this. So, I mean, it doesn't exactly work like this. Some guys have been injured. Some guys have spent most of their seasons in the G League. But he's basically outperformed 8 guys in front of him who were drafted in front of him to be one of the 11 selections. And there was some question whether, you know, was he a good pick at 19? He wasn't exactly as high as 19 on everybody's draft board. But he's been a home run of a pick so far.
Oh, brother. You got that right. And, you know, you always have fun. Let's redraft and then figure out where you'd go. He's probably a lottery pick. And so you look at this whole thing, and I just love his feel. I love his toughness. The game's not too fast for him. It's like he had a play in the paint last night. He looked like an old vet. You know, he spun one way, gave an up fake, came back, and came underneath for a little lay-in. And I'm saying, holy moly, that's great stuff. And, of course, I was chatting with somebody in Milwaukee today, and he was a high school player of the year when he was in growing up in Wisconsin. And so I pull for all those Wisconsin guys. He just, you can't teach what he's got. He may not be the greatest athlete, but I just, the guy's game makes basketball sense. And he's got the confidence of everybody. And he's a very smart guy, because you know who he's latched on to the most?
Who?
Steph Curry.
Yep.
That's his man. I mean, he probably has to get the donuts or whatever it is that Steph wants, but he broke the news about the 3-point shot with Sabrina to him, and it's a nice connection. I guess they played golf one day, and Pazinski might have lost 3 dozen balls, but he had a good time.
Yeah, 3 dozen balls and maybe a few bucks as well, because I don't think you're beating Steph Curry on the golf course.
That'll
do it for us. I do also want to give a quick shout out WNBA Golden State naming Jess Smith as the team president. He was able to go to the press conference yesterday. Very impressive resume, having come over from Angel City FC. He's also worked with the Oakland A's and the San Jose Earthquakes in the Bay Area. So excited to see what that team gets named. Maybe in the couple of months we're going to get a team name. Brandon Schneider was saying yesterday that information could be coming, you know, in the next 2 months or so, but we'll see. No official timetable on that.
She might get my old office in the old practice facility.
There, her office is going to be in Oakland. Yeah, could be your,
I'll
your
have
old
to
spot.
Check it out.
Yeah. Exactly. Can't wait for WNBA Golden State. May of 2025 is when they will tip things off. Well, big thank you to Mark Randy behind the glass to run the show for us in our 95.7 studios. Big thank you to RC Davis and Marika Kleto on the Golden State side of things. For the Saint, I'm Kevin Dana saying so long. We will talk to you next week right here on 95.7 The Game.
You've been listening to the Warriors Roundtable.
Curry breaks it through. One hand, three. Up and good!
On the exclusive home of your Golden State Warriors.
That playful and nailed it!
95.7 The Game.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.